coming up on Patriots This Week. In a primetime showcase, the Pats proved again they are primetime players.
We just went out as a team and performed very well.
Got to give the players a lot of credit. They played well tonight.
While fans of both teams talked revenge, Tom Brady wasn't singing any redemption song.
It was a good win. Glad we won. It's always good to win on the road.
Now we're moving on to the Jets.
That sounds familiar. And these new-look Jets have a back-to-the-future feel to them.
You know, Revis is having a big year.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
It may not have been the stampede many were looking for, but nonetheless, in the rematch of last year's AFC Championship, the Patriots win over the Colts 34-27. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy along with three-time Super Bowl champ Matt Chatham and my radio partner, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak. Guys, Tom Brady after the game displeased, many disappointed by the margin of victory, narrow as it was, relative to expectations. But nonetheless, what's the takeaway from the Patriots' win to stay unbeaten?
They won.
Yeah, there you go.
It's tough to win on a road.
Yes.
You know?
No, for me, worst game they played and still won comfortably. I think that there's a bunch of fluky things that happened in that game. You know, obviously the interception that goes through Edelman's hands, you won't see that next 100 balls he's thrown his way. There's the T.Y. Hilton touchdown that's clearly a fumble that doesn't get reviewed, and they're reviewing all scores now apparently. Just a lot of goofy stuff in that game that just felt like an outlier, felt like something that's not going to sort of be relative to other games. Yet it was so comfortable. It never felt like it was in doubt.
I told you halfway through that fourth quarter, after that third three and out, this quarterback's not going to be after the game.
No.
You see him on the sidelines, he throws the helmet, and it just had that same type of feel, that build last year out in Minnesota, where they won the game. Yep. The game was in hand. Good but one. The offense really didn't put the hammer home, didn't finish the game. It wasn't a full 60 minutes.
Sure.
He didn't seem control in the end of the game. Now, he played great at the beginning of the game, did Tom Brady, and I thought he was great in the pocket. I thought they came out and did what they had to do, uncharacteristic of Edelman. But I think this is right up Bill's alley, where you win the game. It's a big game that you won. It's an AFC team for what it is, on the road. And now you turn the page kind of on the Deflategate stuff, because you're past the four-game suspension period. That's the team that was the rat on you.
Right.
You're past them. Now you got to get ready for a tough divisional game. Then I really feel guys are going to be a rock fight.
Patriots will have to do it with their offensive line in a state of flux. Marcus Cannon was the replacement for the injured Nate Solder, who's gone for the season, and Cannon was gone very early in the Colts game.
Yeah, and we haven't seen a ton of Trey Jackson. Ryan Wendell was inactive for the game. The tackle position, as you mentioned, is in flux. Cam Fleming is now back up off the practice squad, a guy who was on the Super Bowl active roster a year ago. So it's not as if he hasn't been out there and hasn't had some experience. But yeah, again, Zona and I have been talking about this since the first and second week of September.
Yeah.
This thing is still in flux, and now because of injuries as well. I think the fortunate part they have is because you did sort of the mix and match kind of thing, each of these guys has a little bit of experience. You still got to figure out who those five are going to be, but I think they have sort of the band-aids to keep it together.
The other thing about the game, too, with the Colts taking the one-point lead at halftime, is Indianapolis's game plan defensively and offensively. They kept Rob Gronkowski in check, much improved defensively, certainly, even though the Pats scored on 5 of 6 possessions at one stage, but also the Colts offensively. Andrew Luck willing to take the shorter throws, time-consuming drives on their first two touchdown marches.
Yeah, and I thought Pep Hamilton panicked at halftime. When New England came out and got that first touchdown drive after the half, that short passing game was gone. All of a sudden, they're in 5-step, 7-step, deep play action drop, and you're trying to get the more vertical stuff, the bow routes down the field, and it wasn't working for him there. He almost turned 3 balls over, and that's where I think Andrew Luck gets sloppy. So whoever's going to coach this guy down the road, the sky's the limit for him. He's going to be a good quarterback. And you could see when you keep him compact, when you keep his mechanics nice and tight, and you keep the read simple, he can be very effective.
So how did the Pats get things turned around against those crossing routes in the second half and, in effect, shut down Indy's offense until that last scoring drive for the Colts?
You know, I asked Coach that in the postgame, and he said it was our positioning. Taking a guy like Patrick Chung, of all people, bring him up and bump and run on T.Y. Hilton, get in his face, slam him at the line of scrimmage, and it worked. You know, go back to last year. Arrington took T.Y. Hilton right out of the game. So Patrick Chung neutralized T.Y. Hilton in the second half of that football game. And I know people have issues with Butler. They say, well, he's there, he's close, he's got to make that play. He will eventually learn, guys, to make these plays. If he was getting beat by 2 yards, 3 yards, I'd have major concerns. The fact he's there, you know, the hand goes up, but his hand's right here to knock that ball down. He's just got to find another way to climb the receiver and get the ball knocked out.
Indianapolis makes a decision, a bizarre decision as it was, that has everybody talking, including the Colts punter Pat McAfee, right. Turning point in the game with that odd formation and eventually a fake punt.
The issue here wasn't so much that it was a dumb call. It's a little bit aggressive call, but it's a call that should have been checked out of. I think every person at every level that's sitting home at TV that had that in a flag football game, if you align two guys over the center, you check out of the play. What happened, as you mentioned, Pat McAfee sort of maybe threw a special teams coach under the bus a little bit, because I think at this point, Pagano sort of takes the bullets. The special teams coaches are usually the ones that communicate. When there's a substitution error, a guy gets injured, they got to get the guy that goes in for him. He should be echoing back to Pagano, hey, dude, you really want to run this thing? Because one of your key players is a guy we didn't have doing this in the practice week. So I think ultimately it was not a scheme thing so much. It was just really, really, really poor coaching communication on the side.
I really like the tight editing job that the Colts organization does. See, we heard about this Pat McAfee interview. By the way, it's a punter having his own radio show. Now, I'm all for having your own radio show, okay? You know, at least it pays the bills a little bit. But to go out and laugh and joke after the game about, well, one guy gets hurt, and in comes Waylon. Waylon is the guy that's subbing for him. Oh, but guess what, guys? He didn't get the audible check that we put in because he was fielding punts during the week. Yeah. So the special teams coach, and you know what happens here in this organization when a player goes down on a special teams unit. The special teams unit coach has a chart. Right. Guess who's up next? Gets right to that guy and talks to him. Go back to Do Your Job. Right. Do Your Job, that documentary. Josh McDaniels goes over to Julian Edelman. Jules, I'm thinking about calling the double pass play. Are you good? Are you good?
That's
meaning, is your arm loose? If I call it, are you going to freak out? No, I'm good. I'm good. He goes, okay, I'm going to call it. So there's the alert right there. Now you get the player thinking about it. So this kid you put in the game didn't instruct him as to what to do. First of all, he was the backup. So this comes from the head coach, the special teams coach, and then they went and put it on their own damn team website.
And very quickly, the Pats, of course, capitalized. LeGarrette Blount scores another touchdown, two in the game against the Colts. No surprise there, except it's his first receiving touchdown on a broken play. Tom Brady scrambling a bit, keeping it alive, and Blount makes the adjustment to score the touchdown.
Again, it goes to awareness of the individual, of the player, and how you're taught to do things, and how it trickles down. It's a fake play up the middle. He's not even in route. He sees the quarterback having issues. And by osmosis, by standing here and watching the rest of the team and receivers go through the scramble drill, hey, okay, my quarterback's in trouble. I'm going to go help him out. Catches the ball, gets in the end zone.
All right, we'll continue with more of Patriots this week. No shocker, the Broncos continue to score points, enough to win. But surprisingly, it's the defense scoring the bulk of the points of late for Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Jamie Collins. The 6'3", 250-pound linebacker was the Patriots' second-round choice in 2013. He's having a breakout season, leading the Patriots in tackles, including 11 against the Cowboys. But it was this acrobatic block of an extra point against the Colts that will be one of the most talked-about plays of the season. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues with Scott Solak and Matt Chatham. Broncos stay unbeaten. Aqib Talib with another pick six. But Peyton Manning with three more interceptions, including one in overtime. The Broncos improbably survive.
Yeah, I thought Denver, and I watched this whole game, I thought Denver put football back 10 years. The problem is Cleveland put back football 20 years. Peyton had a nice throw to Manny Sanders down the seam, down that right seam, after he threw the pick. And we see this, and we've seen this throughout the first 6 weeks. He has three really great throws in the football game. And those are the highlights you see. What the highlights you don't see are the ones that are turning over like they're some pooch punt. I think the guy's done. I think he's cooked. I don't see any consistency with the arm. I watch him on the sidelines. It's hands on the hip, heads down. He knows it. But he has the ability to still function at the end of the game and somehow find a way to ride the defense. I don't want to bring up Tim Tebow's name, but I'm not comparing Manning to Tebow.
You just did.
But the defense, when Tebow played, Tebow stunk. But there was one drive at the end of a game where he kind of put it together and the defense would carry him, put him in that position to do it. Manny's kind of doing that now. Peyton Manning has become Tim Tebow. It's scary.
The biggest issue, though, that he has, and I see him still continuing to struggle with this, in Kubiak's offense, what's going to happen after the snap of the ball is not yet determined. What he's been so good at through most of his career is pre-snap read, dictating where he's going to go with the ball and getting it out extremely quickly. He's in a very uncomfortable situation now where post-snap, he's got several options and he's got the back to determine, and it's not what the Peyton Manning system has been.
You like so the I pistol think look? You like when he's in the pistol? It's a threat to run?
Like that? It's perfect.
Because there's pretty good odds he's going to run right
Kaepernick,
or left, right?
It's yeah. Kaepernick, more or less. Yeah.
Because I think of the two the same. Yeah. And I love when they play fake him to the right, roll them all the way out to the left.
Awesome.
That does a lot for a 38-year-old guy.
Speaking of the physical versus the mental, Dan Campbell, interim head coach of the Miami Dolphins, trying to bring physicality and change the mentality of the Dolphins. And Cam Wake, certainly one of those guys who responded in the win over Tennessee.
You know, Campbell is a Parcells-type guy, meaning he comes from that tree of toughness. It's the old tight end, and he's going to be rough and tough. He started with the Oklahoma drill his first day of practice. Now that was during the bye week. But they have talent down here in Miami. We've talked about this. It seems like this is a weekly thing. It just can't come together. I don't know how long it's going to last for him. But for 1 week, he commanded the room. And they listened, and it seemed like they played with passion. I watched that game, too. You see the sideline. The offense is up when the defense is on the field. That's vice versa. And they're kind of slapping each other around. Before that, you saw guys walking off the field. Philbin trying to clap him. Let's go. And guys were just tuning him out.
I think from a personal standpoint, Dan Campbell's a couple months different than me in age. I think I always cheer for the former player. I want to cheer for the guy that could command the room and be in that situation. But I also think of it as something where, wow, if I was in that room, and there's going to be a small percentage of the guys that are still in Miami that would have played against Dan when he was a Cowboy tight end, but there are going to be enough of them that know that he doesn't control their employment. And the reason I think that's important is they're going to lose again this year. They're going to lose a game or two. Something will happen at some point. Are you going to have stragglers in the locker room that look to him and say, you can't fire me? You're in a vulnerable position just like I am. How do they respond to a guy who's not that different in age that doesn't have control of your employment? That's going to be the real test.
And speaking of branches off the Bill Parcells tree, another of them leads his team into Foxborough at 4-1. Todd Bowles and the Jets, subject of our next segment on Patriots This Week.
Hey, what's up, it's Zone. The New York Jets have lost one football game this year. Guess who didn't play in it? Chris Ivory. So it's got to be a commonality, right? So let's take a look at it. Chris Ivory, the running back. No Rex Ryan. They do like the ground and pound. It's a little jump cut. Easy run, really. He's got great vision. Gets to the backside. Reminds me a little bit of LeGarrette Blount. We know how we like LeGarrette around here. So you take the guy. And also this, three wide receiver set. Little motion here with the tight end. I mean, you're telling everybody in the house right here, we're giving a gut ball to this guy. They stuff it in the hole. He breaks one tackle, two tackles. This guy runs strong, so you better be able to wrap him up. Red zone, guess what they're going to do? Throw it to Brandon Marshall or give it to this guy in a little jump. What do they call that, jump draw? I mean, the ability for that guy to get in the end zone when it doesn't look like there's a hole, you better hit, you better wrap. Your front seven's got to be ready to go. Chris Ivory is your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
And as we continue on Patriots This Week, we focus on the New York Jets. And Zoe and Matt Chatham, the Jets spent a lot of money on their secondary this past offseason.
Darrelle Revis is my favorite corner. I think he's a planet player. Had the pleasure to sit here and watch this guy and call his games last year. Helped this Patriots team win a Super Bowl. He's a lockdown cover corner. Cromartie's aggressive corner. Nice size. Reminds me of Brandon Browner. So it scares the heck out of me going into this game, knowing what you can do, what those two guys can do, and how it affects the front. And you forget about them. And next thing you know, you got a pretty good front seven that could get after you.
One of the sort of hidden but always has been there truths in the NFL is really good players can look really bad in really bad situations. And I think you look at guys like Chris Ivory, you look at guys like Brandon Marshall, both of these guys were parts of bad offenses and had major roles. That didn't make them bad players. Both of those guys are exceptional in the right situation. Ryan Fitzpatrick could put him right there. Not saying that makes him a great quarterback, but in the right situation with the right complement of players, with the right play callers, all of a sudden everyone looks good because they are good. So I think this is a unique situation where the Patriots are going to be game planning, not just to figure out how to beat the Rex Ryan defense or the Bulls defense in this case. They got to stop both sides.
Well, you talk about Brandon Marshall, four straight 100-yard receiving games. Eric Decker's having a good year. Let's not forget that the one loss for the Jets against the Philadelphia Eagles, they were without the aforementioned Chris Ivory, yep. who rushed for 146 last week, mm-hmm. and without Eric Decker.
Yeah, they have nice size, too. Decker at 6'4", I think Brandon Marshall 6'5", big physical receivers that I think this secondary unit can struggle with and may struggle with. I just don't think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be able to elevate like we saw some of the really good clutch quarterbacks in the league. I think he's kind of hit his plateau. If you ask him to do more than what he's needed to do, I think that's where he gets into trouble.
I think that's absolutely fair, but the thing I like about them is they have so many complementary pieces. Provided Decker's still there and healthy, provided Marshall's still there and healthy, Cumberland, who used to be in a great
Cumberland's
role,
a good tight end.
He's a good tight end, but now he's in a fourth or fifth option, which is perfect for him. Same with Jeremy Curley, who hasn't even really been a big part of the offense, but he's a guy that's hurt the Patriots in the past. When guys who have complementary skills get to play complementary roles, and Chris Ivory just gets the rock 30 times, yeah. that guy is a stud. He is Marshawn Lynch 7-8 years ago. He has that exact same style. He's not that big. He's a 4-4 guy, so don't think that it's just the pounding and hitting. That dude can fly, cuts back across the field, catch out of the backfield. It's a good offense.
And it's a much different tone this week coming out of New York. In fact, no bulletin board material thus far. Willie Colon, very outspoken about his hatred, or at least disdain for the Patriots the last couple of years. This week, a different message from him, and when asked about it, he said, well, new regime. Todd Bowles.
He was told by Rex to say those things. Yeah. Our coach won't let us say these things. Yeah.
Again, Todd Bowles comes from the Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick style of coaching, substance over style when it comes to being a head coach.
No need for kerosene. No need for kerosene in a week like this.
What did you see, though, for Revis against Pierre Garçon in Washington last Sunday?
He's still competitive. I think the fact that a guy gives up a play or two, we even mentioned this with our own guy here, Butler, I think people get sort of this misperception because of Brand's Island and all that kind of thing that they're not doing what they normally do if the other guy never catches it. You know, like, that's not the gig. You're doing an exceptional job even if they catch one or two or three. Competitive, that word that Bill always uses. Even on the very first play of the game over in London where Brent Grimes is right in the pocket of Brandon Marshall, that's excellent coverage. Brandon did catch it, the big physical guy over it. Garcon's going to make some plays. I still think Revis is as close to his man as anybody in the NFL. Play after play after play, he's there. Yeah, the other guy's going to catch a ball every now and again.
Half the problem is I can't see the coverage watching on a TV. I don't know where the safeties are. I don't know if it's cover one, cover two. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, I go back to Kansas City last year where Revis was giving up those plays to the inside. Then you go back and look at the coverage, and it's not man. It's two cover shell zone. So he's got outside leverage, and his job is to let the receiver run to the inside. Safety's supposed to come down. And Revis got blamed for all those catches.
Well, Darrelle Revis coming back to Foxborough, of course, back in the green of the New York Jets. When we continue on Patriots This Week, we'll get the guys' thoughts on the outcome with predictions next, right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Make sure Blake Bortles gets a start this week. The Jaguars QB has had 7 TDs and more than 600 yards in the past 2 games. Bortles should do well against a poor Bills secondary in London Sunday morning. Sit running back Chris Johnson when the Cardinals host the Ravens on Monday. Baltimore may be underachieving, but they can be tough against the run. But start Lamar Miller when the Dolphins host Houston. The Miami coaching change seems to emphasize the run, and the Texans' defense has been mediocre all year long. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, and we conclude on Patriots This Week with the guys' predictions for the outcome and the game changer.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots in a rock fight, and that means a 4-point win, 24-20. Player of the game, the guy that's going to have the biggest impact, Malcolm Butler. I think he's going to match up really well against Brandon Marshall, and people are going to come away from this game saying, hey, there's your first really good test, and you passed it.
I'm going to go 26-20 Patriots. I like that phrase, rock fight. I think this is going to be a close game. A couple field goals there to separate the two. I'm going to go with Julian Edelman as the top guy. And for this reason, he had a couple blips last week, a couple not great plays because he had drops. He's such a hyper, and still had a great game, but he's such a hyper-competitive guy. I can imagine the juice that's in him, getting to now compete against a guy like Darrelle Revis, and I'm not so sure the Jets will simply follow him all over the field. I think they'll let them go back and forth. The Patriots will hide him all over the formation. He'll have a big game.
It's the Patriots and the Jets. Last year in the two meetings, two blocked field goals ultimately sealed Patriots victories, and it's a tough week for New England coming up against the Jets and the Dolphins on a short turnaround. We'll talk about all that next week on Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. So long, everyone.
Thanks for watching the Bob Soucy Show.